Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Amen. Today's questions. Are we teachable? Can we change? Can we grow into the image of God in which we were created? Nancy Kester, Lutheran pastor and adjunct professor at Luther Seminary, observes that these themes run through all the readings this week. In all the texts, God teaches us humility, trust, and joy in the presence of God. We can try to change on our own, but it is much more effective to seek change with God and through God. Psalm 25 is 22 verses long. We read only the first 9 verses this morning. The psalm is about God's mercy in my life and good times and bad. The psalmist asked several times for God to show God's way to the writer. Quote, show me your ways. Lead me in your truth. The psalmist also risks instructing God. Quote, remember, O Lord, your compassion. Remember not the sins of my youth. God can take our confessions even when they are in the form of an instruction to God. The Psalms, in my view, are a wonderful resource, especially in hard times. Many at St. James I know are including morning prayer or evening prayer, or sometimes both, in their prayer life, especially in these difficult times. If one reads the psalm or psalms appointed for morning prayer and evening prayer, every day, all 150 psalms will be read over 7 weeks, and then the cycle repeats. Among the psalms are a number of psalms of lament, again appropriate for these times. I'd also recommend you write your own psalm of lament. As a matter of fact, one I wrote 6 years ago is still on my Facebook page. In today's psalm, the writer calls upon God not to let his enemies triumph over him. We don't know what kind of enemies he was speaking about. The enemies that attempt to triumph over us are often our own internal enemies. These might be the enemies of addiction, to drugs or alcohol, or an addiction to money. We can also be addicted to career over family, addicted to always being right, and addicted to a lack of humanity. Paul wrote to the Philippians with a concern for lack of humanity among the members of that new church in Philippi. We are, you may have noted, in the second week of 4 weeks of reading through all of Philippians. The church in Philippi was the first Christian community founded by Paul in Europe. It's only 8 miles from the Aegean Sea on the main east-west road. It was settled largely by Roman soldiers, and it was definitely under Roman control. Paul seems rather fond of the people in Philippi. When he wrote this epistle, he was in prison in Rome, and though he's facing probable death, he continued to preach to his guards and other prisoners. He also takes time to write a long letter to the faithful folks back in Philippi. Nancy Kester raises the question, as I said at the outset, can we grow into the image of God in which we are created? This is exactly Paul's point. We hear verses 5 through 11 of the second chapter of Philippians every Palm Sunday. It contains some good theology. Paul's main point in this chapter, though, is to write of a pattern of thinking for the believers of Philippi, one grounded in the way of Jesus. It's often surprising to me, and it shouldn't be, that words that were written thousands of years ago completely fit the situation today. Paul gives the Philippians and us a high bar. Quote, do nothing from selfish ambition. Look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. My failings are often clear, and the failings of those who try to follow Christ are obvious to many, especially sometimes to outsiders. In the midst of his struggle for justice for a people in the face of the occupation of his native India, the celebrated pacifist Mahatma Gandhi is reported to have said, quote, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ," end quote. Troy Truftgubin points out that today's reading builds on the primary appeal of the epistle as given in the conclusion of last week's reading. Quote, "Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ," end quote. In verses 2 to 5 of today's reading, Paul narrows it to an appeal to the community for unity and individual humility. You would guess, given his name, that Troy Truftgubin is an ELCA pastor, and he is, as well as a faculty member at Wartburg Seminary in Dubuque, Iowa. Paul strongly calls for unity in the community. Quote, "Be of the same mind, having the same love." We know from reading further in the epistle that there is strife and bickering, enough that Paul mentions it and asks for healing. Along with unity, Paul calls for humanity. "Do not regard yourself as better than others," he says. "Look to the interest of others before looking for your own interests." There is a theme of self-denial here. Truftgubin points out that this is in stark contrast to the honor-seeking that prevailed among Roman aristocrats in that society. Paul does not recommend a traditional seeking of the way of upward mobility and aspiration, but a course of downward mobility, the way of relinquishing and honoring others, seen foremost in the life of Christ. It is so very difficult to change our minds and change our directions in seeking to follow Christ, to be like Christ. The psalmist asks to be led by God into God's truth and to learn the ways and paths of God. The chief priests and elders in the temple were not about to change their minds, though they apparently knew the right answer. They were men who had achieved the highest positions in the land through heredity. They kept those positions through cooperation with the Roman overlords. Changing their minds would have meant being thrown out of the temple, out of the leadership, and it might have gotten them killed. Are you capable of changing your mind about some of the divisive issues of today? Am I capable of the same thing? Are we even capable of having a civil discussion with those with whom we disagree? Civil discussions seem almost impossible these days. In my house every day, we record the news on the DVR. Earlier this week, I turned on the TV to go back and watch the morning news. And I found out, I watch too much news, by the way. I found out that Rachel Ray was on the live broadcast. I never watched that show, but I noticed that Jenna Bush, George Bush's daughter, was being interviewed about her new book about her grandfather. She commented sadly that the active debates she would have with her family no longer were possible in this society, or so it seemed to her. Everyone's positions are frozen, and no one is capable of changing or growing, as the psalmist speaks of. She told about her grandmother, Barbara Bush, having lunch in New York City with a professor from NYU. The professor was pushing Mrs. Bush hard on questions of LGBT rights, especially transgender rights. Afterwards, he said to Jenna that he really felt bad about leaning so hard on a 92-year-old woman. And then a couple weeks later, he received a handwritten note from Barbara Bush, thanking him for the lunch and saying that he had convinced her to change her mind. If a 92-year-old woman can change her mind, can we not all be open to civil discussions and even possibly changing our minds? The psalmist says, "Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation." Amen.